This is on page 1184, if you're following in the church Bibles. Just a short reading, Colossians chapter 3, page 1184, reading from verse 12 down to verse 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. We pray, as always, that God would take these words that we have read, words that are just ink on a page, and God would cause them by his Spirit to be to us the life of Christ. So thankfulness, a new way of living, appropriate in a season of thanksgiving. Now, in our reading earlier that Liliana read to us, Jesus says to Nicodemus, a man who was learned, he was clever, he was there to answer questions, to teach people and to answer questions, you would have thought. He would know pretty much everything that anybody knew about God, about the kingdom of God, about living as the people of God. And here is a man in Nicodemus who, as I mentioned earlier, was in the right place at the right time. Everything seemed to be right. And yet he couldn't quite puzzle out Jesus. And Jesus says to him, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. And what it makes me smile and chuckle every time I read this, because Jesus could have said to Nicodemus, look, Nicodemus, you're in the right place. It's the right time. Everything's in the right order for you. You just need to change your mind. Or Jesus could have said, you just need to open your eyes a little bit. Give your head a scratch. Think about it. It's all there for you. And that maybe is what we are used to. When we don't get something, everything seems to be right. And maybe sometimes, if you're something like someone like me, sometimes it feels as though everybody else gets it. Have you been here where everybody else gets it, but you don't? Yeah. And that can be really troubling. But Jesus doesn't say, open your eyes. He doesn't say, change your mind. He says, Nicodemus, you're never going to get this unless you're born again. The most radical new beginning that Jesus could possibly have suggested to Nicodemus. You're not going to get this unless you take this extraordinary shift, unless you make this new beginning. And a new beginning, Jesus goes on to explain to Nicodemus, unless you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the born-again thing will never happen. And it's an encouragement we make to one another. Perhaps when we first come to that decision to follow the Lord Jesus, we say, that's when I was born again. And yet, you know, I've said this before, I've prayed many times that I might be born again. Again. Maybe I'm the only one, but many times it feels to me like I've been in the right place at the right time and everything's right, but I just can't see it and I just can't do it. And I've had to pray, Lord, I need to be born again. I need such an extraordinary, radical shift in my thinking and my being. I need to be born again. Now, you might say, well, why share that in the context of thankfulness, this new way of living? Well, when we read the letter that I read from a moment ago, the letter that is written ostensibly by Paul to the church at Colossae, he encourages them in terms of what it means to live out this born-again life. How, having thought one way, they need to live in a new way. And he says to them, you have clothed yourself with the new self. You've put on a whole new way of being. You have clothed yourself with a new self. Now, within this passage, maybe you heard it in my reading of it, but we're encouraged to be thankful and to live with gratitude, and whatever you do, to give thanks to God the Father. And thankfulness, I would suggest, and I'm suggesting this morning, is a new way of living. And thankfulness is foundational in not just understanding, but thankfulness is foundational in us living the born-again life. And I wonder sometimes whether the reason some of us get stuck in our born-again life is because we're not taught and encouraged to be thankful. Because thankfulness is such a powerful attitude and approach to life. So, beginning, the encouragement is to put on an entirely new character. This is part of what it means to be born again, to put on a new character. We are told, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. Put on a new outfit. Have yourself measured afresh for a new outfit. All the old clothes that you've been wearing, the old outfits that you're so familiar with, put them out, because you need to reclothe yourselves with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. And then just a verse or two later, and over all these virtues, put on, clothe yourself with love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. What does it mean to live this born-again life founded on thankfulness? Is to understand the need for a new character. I cannot continue, and I can't do this following Jesus thing unless I understand with a very deliberate and conscious choice to put on this new character of compassion and kindness and humility and meekness and patience and love. And then it goes on, and peace, and this attitude of togetherness as well. This is what it means to be born again. Thankfulness is foundational to all of this. This new born again life rests upon thankfulness. And so that's a very simple reflection. What does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean to have a born-again life? Recognizing we may be in the right place at the right time. Everything's set up for us. We don't quite get it. We need to be born again. And we pray, Father, I need your Spirit to work this miracle within me. Now, how do I live? How do I live? We live with thankfulness, putting on a new character of compassion and kindness and mercy and love and peace and togetherness. But it doesn't end there. Having put on a new outfit, I wonder, when was the last time you got yourself a new outfit? That's normally a very exciting thing. If there's a wedding, anybody been to a wedding recently? I know, it's a funny thing, isn't it? Men, when you go to the wedding, you just put on your suit, don't you? Women, you know, a new dress, you know, definitely, isn't that right? Definitely buy a new dress. But we're encouraged by the Apostle Paul, put on a new outfit, a new character, so that you can live this born again life. But the next thing is we have to adopt a new series of habits. Three particular habits concerning the Bible, prayer and worship, and action, all of which are brought to us in this passage. Verse 16, let the message of Christ, or let the word of Christ, dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And so we begin with the Bible, with that phrase, let the word of Christ, let the message of Christ dwell in you richly. And I'm almost always cautious to limit the word of Christ or the word of God to the Bible, because we know that God's word is bigger than what we have in terms of the Bible. This is not the limit of God's word, because God is alive and active. He is active in our world today, and he continues to speak to us. And everything he says, we believe everything he says is in accord with what we read in the Bible, but not limited by it. The encouragement with these habits is, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. We welcome the life of Christ into our hearts. And if we put on a new outfit, then I wonder, is this a new place to live, where we allow the word of Christ to dwell in us? And I think we need to dwell within the word ourselves. We need to dwell within the word. I was reflecting. I think I was just coming to this morning. Do you know that strange netherworld where you're not quite asleep, but you're not quite awake? And I was just coming to this morning. And I said to Sarah, when we were both up, I said, do you know, sometimes I'm not sure why I think the thoughts I think in that netherworld, you know, between, you know, what was I dreaming about? What was going on that I began thinking it? And my thought was, my life would have been so much simpler if I had never read the Bible from cover to cover. Yeah? My life would be so much simpler if I'd never read the Bible from cover to cover. And you say, well, why? My Bible, my life radically shifted when I decided I would read the Bible from cover to cover. Because I'd been brought up reading the Bible, and I guess I'd read all the Bible in bits, bit here, bit there, and so on. But I was relying so much on other people telling me what the Bible said, or telling me what the Bible meant, or whatever it was. And it was when I read the Bible for myself over a period of about 3 or 4 months, I read the Bible from cover to cover. And it shifted something in my mind and my heart and my spirit. And my thought this morning was, my life would have been so much simpler if I'd never done that. It would have. Because I've discovered so many things about God that are challenging to me and challenging to others. But God takes us to these places and he says to us, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Make your own home within the living word of Christ, and it won't be a safe place. It won't be a comfortable place. Your life in so many ways will be so much easier if you don't do this. Because you will be challenged. And what you come to see and understand about God and his word and the life of Christ and the work of the Spirit, it will challenge you and it will challenge others as well. And sometimes you will be regarded as awkward and difficult. But you won't be able to let go of what God's word has brought to bear within you. And so this is the first of a series of new habits. Having put on new clothing of character, recognizing how do I live a born-again life? Well, it is about putting on new character. We can't live a born-again life following Christ without recognizing we have to get dressed up for it. And we have to put the old clothing out. We put on the character of Christ. And then we have to adopt the habit of reading the Bible, meditating on the Bible, praying over the Bible, imbibing the word, the living word of God. And that's the first habit. The second habit that I mentioned is the habit of prayer and worship. We are encouraged in this passage, with gratitude in your heart, sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs to God. With gratitude. That's the attitude of gratitude. That's a complete new approach to life. I will be thankful in all things, in all circumstances. And maybe this is a new outlook on life. Sometimes when I walk the dog in the mornings, I don't know why I'm talking about the early morning so much, but I'm aware that sometimes I get out of bed in the morning and I think, oh, yeah. I know some people wake up in the morning and they're full of life, spring in their step. Sometimes I wake up and go, oh, crikey. Don't you? Oh, crikey. Yeah. But a discipline, a habit, sometimes when I walk the dog, and it's not every day, but I choose to go through my walk giving thanks. Giving thanks. And it's a very simple thing. There's nothing particularly profound about it, but even when I meet somebody else, normally another dog walker, and we may chat for a moment and then move on, I thank God for that person. And it is a deliberate with gratitude in your heart. And I don't always sing the thankfulness, but I certainly speak it. And it's the second of these series of habits. The first is to immerse ourselves in the Bible, in the word of Christ, to let it live within us and to transform us. The second habit is to be diligent in our prayer and our worship, to sing and to speak with gratitude and to bring all that we are to God in prayer. And put in her prayers earlier, mentioned, I think you used the line, I don't know what to pray. I'm often there. And I'm encouraged by the Apostle Paul's words to the church at Rome that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, takes even the groans of our hearts. The things we can't express in prayer, we haven't got words for, the Holy Spirit takes that groaning and translates it into a prayer. And we need that. We need that in our prayers, to be open and honest before God for that new outlook on life. It is transformative to be thankful, to pray and to worship with gratitude. And the third habit is that of action. Whatever you do, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever you do, encapsulating everything we can imagine, this new quality to our life. Because our lives are not just about reading the Bible. Our born-again life is not just about prayer or worship. It is about putting it into action and doing in our lives what we learn from Christ because we've read it in his word. Doing what we're prompted through our prayer and our worship in our actions. Actions of thankfulness and gratitude and appreciation. Actions of mercy and kindness and goodness. And these simple things can make such a profound difference to us, but they can make such a greater and more profound difference to others. And so we are encouraged. This born-again life, how do we do it? Well, we're encouraged to be thankful. We're encouraged to put on a whole new character of compassion and kindness and mercy and love and peace and togetherness. We put on that character and say, now I'm going to live here. And then we adopt the habits of immersing ourselves in the living word of Christ, of being prayerful and worshipful and seeking to do all that we do in imitation of the name and the life of Christ. We are encouraged, be thankful, to live with gratitude and to always give thanks to God the Father. May this simple words this morning, this encouragement, I trust, to be thankful and to see that as a new way of living, find its place in our hearts. It may be this morning that we, wherever we're at in our lives, it may be that we feel we're in the right place. It feels like the right time, but we just don't get what God is doing. We just don't understand. We just don't know what the answer to the question is. And it may be that we need God to do that radical shift in our lives. It may be that in some way we need to be born again. And in being born again, we say, I will live thankful. I will put on the character of Christ. And I will immerse myself in these new habits of the word of Christ, prayer and worship and action. May God bless us as we seek to respond to him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. We thank you for all that you are. We thank you that you are holy, Father, that you are gracious and kind, you are loving and merciful. Father, thank you that you are just and right and faithful. Father, thank you that you have given Jesus to us, a gift, our Lord and Saviour, a model for our lives, our example, our guide. Lord Jesus, thank you that as we live and act and serve in your name, you are present with us. You are alongside us to help, to encourage, to strengthen, to bless. As we seek to be lights to the world, you are for us the light of the world. And Father, we pray again, pour out your Holy Spirit. Pour out your Holy Spirit that we may truly live lives born of water and the Spirit. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen.